This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Having grown up in Chicago, we were not only familiar with the Chicago Bears, but we were close enough to Green Bay, Wisconsin, to be familiar with the Green Bay Packers. And you may have heard this before. I've heard it dozens of times in different speeches that people would give, that at the beginning of every season, when the team would have their first meeting of the year to prepare for the next football season, supposedly, Coach Vince Lombardi would stand up, and high above his head, he would hold up a football, and he would say, "Gentlemen, this is a football. We're going to start with the basics, even the simplistic statement of holding up a football and saying, this is a football." Today, we're going to study on this Memorial Day weekend, I think, where the Apostle Paul, if I can say this without being disrespectful, pulls a Vince Lombardi type device by saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is communion. This is what the Lord's Supper means." And it's a passage that's so familiar to you, get this, that most people have no idea of what the verses before the passage we read today say. So I'm not going to read them to you, but I am going to give you the context of them. You've heard me say in this series that context is everything. The people of Corinth were not only divided into at least four or more groups. If you can believe this, when they would come together on the first day of the week to take communion or the Lord's Supper, some of them would actually get drunk during the service. Some of them would come and they would bring food. They would have a fellowship meal to begin with in chapter 11. You can read this on your own earlier in chapter 11. And they would put their food together and have a love feast together. And some people would become so touchy about it that they would say, "Hey, you can't touch that cheesecake. That's ours. That's our family's. Don't you dare touch that German chocolate cake." And I don't know if they had German chocolate cake and New York cheesecake in Corinth back 2,000 years ago, but they would be selfish. And here's what would happen. Poor people would come perhaps to get their only meal of the day. And they would be told, "You can't share with us." And so it was in that context of the division, of the selfishness, of the drunkenness that was going on, not at the local bar, but going on in the body of Christ, that Paul holds up the communion emblem, so to speak, and says, "This is communion. I want you to rethink communion." We're jumping ahead in the series on this Memorial Day weekend to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29, the verses that you're familiar with, but we're going to look at them in a new way today. The Apostle Paul is speaking and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup that I'm holding, is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord.'"
Well, you may have heard that passage read not too long ago. You may have never heard it read. Either way, it's got power in your life. This message continues on Cross Hope tomorrow. Our website, of course, crosshope.org.
I want to share with you right at the beginning that I believe that communion is the most important thing that we do in our worship service. It is not even what I do when I share the Word of God, as important as I believe that is. I am convinced, not only intellectually, I'm convinced in my spirit that the most important thing that we do on Sunday morning is take that which represents the body and the blood of the Lord. Why I'm making such a deal about that is this reason. There is a growing movement, not only in the country, but even in our churches, to kind of discount communion. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, here's one way that it's discounted. There are people that say, well, you know, if a visitor comes to church and they see people taking communion, that's going to be uncomfortable for them. That's going to be threatening for them. And so maybe what we should do, here's the logic, here's the rationale. Maybe what we should do is offer communion after the service in room 210. Maybe what we should do is offer it somewhere else other than a part of our worship service, and therefore communion becomes something, get this, that not that the body of Christ shares together, it's something that people do individually on their own later on. Have I seen that? Annie and I were visiting a church in the last year on a Sunday morning, probably 1,200 to 1,500 people in the worship service, and I saw the little note in the bulletin. If you would like communion, go to room such and such a number after the service. And I went there just to see what kind of response would be out of 1,200 people. I counted less than a dozen people. And something in me, not judgmentally, legalistically, but something in my spirit was offended by that. Because Paul didn't say, if you feel like taking it, it's an optional thing to take. We are under orders to remember the death of Christ. It's an act that's not only private, it's an act that we share. Would you write that down in your notes if you take notes? It's an act that we not only do privately, individually, it's an act we share. There's something corporate about taking communion that gives it part of its power. If we could bring up the first verse again, verse 23, Paul says, "For I receive from the Lord that which I also passed on to you." It's very important to know the wording there. Paul is pulling rank, not his own rank. He's claiming the rank of Christ, saying, I got this straight from the Lord. Paul is letting people at Corinth know, this isn't my idea. This isn't my concept. This isn't my religious idea. I received directly from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread at that feast, Passover meal, and when he had given thanks, verse 24, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want you to write this down in your notes, those of you that take notes. Communion is not only an act of remembrance. Communion is an act of submission. I've never thought of that until recently. It's not only an act of remembrance. Yeah, we remember what Jesus did. It's an act of submission. How is it an act of submission? We're under orders.
Well, if we're under orders to take the emblems which represent the body and blood of Christ, I have a simple question. When's the last time that you and I took communion? For some people, it may have been a long time. Our website is crosshope.org.
It's not only an act of remembrance. Yeah, we remember what Jesus did. It's an act of submission. How is it an act of submission? We're under orders. We are under orders. We are commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. And again, I don't have some legalistic attachment to communion, that there's something magical that if we miss communion on Sunday, we're in bad trouble. I don't look at it that way, but I do say there's something missing in your life when we routinely miss the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. Something's missing. Why? Because I think it's missing? No, because the Lord says it's missing out of your life. Every time we eat the bread, every time we take the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. I never understood that as a child. I remember thinking about that as a young boy. Why do we proclaim it? Who are we proclaiming it to? We're proclaiming it to ourselves. But there's a proclamation to those around us that I think is important for a person who's never seen communion to come into a worship service and see it. And there's something dynamic that will happen in a man's life, a woman's life, who's never seen communion in his or her life. but who have told me coming out of the door of a church, saying, something happened to me today. When I saw those people taking communion, I didn't do it because I didn't understand it, but I knew it was something special. I knew it was something sacred. It's not uncommon, especially this happened for some reason in Texas more than anywhere I've ministered, when we would have a baptism, that people would come out routinely with tears in their eyes, and I say, are you okay? Is there something wrong? And they would say this, never saw a baptism before in my life, never. I said, what'd you think? And they would always say this, I was deeply moved. Not sure I understand what you were doing up there with that person, but I was deeply moved. You know what happens? There's something that happens in people's spirits that they don't have to understand to be blessed by. They don't have to cognitively understand all the whys and the wherefores to be blessed by. Let me give you just a simple illustration from life. If you eat some homemade bread, do you understand the biochemistry of everything that happens in your stomach and how your body breaks down that bread? Do you have to know all that to benefit from it? You said, no, I just like homemade bread. Bottom line. When you eat a piece of steak, and do you have to understand how it is that the enzymes in your stomach and how they work and how they digest the protein in that and how it affects your health and how your body benefits from that? Do you have to understand all of that to benefit from it? Absolutely not. And so it is, somebody doesn't have to understand communion the first time they see it, but they know God's here. Because every time you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's an act of remembrance, but it's an act of submission. It's not only an act that we do individually, but it's something we do corporately. It's a shared act that we do. I want to talk about the way we take communion. It's in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the Lord, the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Why? Because anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I want to tell you that these are some of the most misquoted and misunderstood verses in all of the New Testament.
And I definitely want you to hear why that is tomorrow on Cross Hope. You can go to our website and listen to this message on crosshope.org or tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, to hear this message continued. God bless you.
I want to tell you that these are some of the most misquoted and misunderstood verses in all of the New Testament. Here's how most people interpret it. They think it has to do with our personal worthiness. You know, I need to be worthy to take communion. If you don't go home with anything else, go home with this right now. Nobody's worthy. You're not worthy to take it. I'm not worthy. It's not about your worthiness. It's about the worthiness of the sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ. But Paul was telling the people at Corinth who were being selfish, they were divided into groups when they took communion. Some of them were even getting drunk. He said, it does make a difference the way, the manner in which you take communion. And so Paul says, if you eat this bread and you drink this cup, in an unworthy way or manner, you're bringing judgment upon yourself. I think it just makes sense. You don't treat the holy as if it's unholy. Would you remember that? You don't treat the holy as if it were something that were unholy. Communion is the most special, the most sacred, the most powerful thing we do every Sunday. It is not an also-ran. It's not something we stick in the service. By golly, we wish we didn't have to do it. We wish there was some other way we could do it, and so we wouldn't have to take the time to do it. Everything is built around it. Let me give you an illustration from life. Can you imagine going to a Thanksgiving dinner with your family, and your family, maybe extended family members? I can remember 25 to 30 people getting together at my home. And I'll just use my own family example. 25, 30 people come to my parents' home years ago for a Thanksgiving dinner. And my mom and dad would welcome everyone into the living room. And can you imagine this? My mom or dad saying, we are not going to gather for a meal today. We're just going to experience fellowship, and we're just going to share and just visit with one another. Now, there is a table in the basement with some sandwiches on it, some finger sandwiches and some chips. If you're so inclined and you want to go downstairs and grab a sandwich, that's fine. But we're not here for that. We're here to do the important thing of gathering together. You know what? If you're normal, you said, I came to eat. I came to get together with the family. I came to sit down at a table and fellowship together over a meal, because there's something dynamic that happens when people have a meal together. And there really is. There's something, some barriers come down when you have lunch with a person that may not come down any other way. And there's an importance in having a meal together. And I think you see where I'm going with that analogy. We come together for the primary reason of taking communion, and everything else is circumference. The Bible implies, it's implied in Scripture, that the reason that Christian people met together on the first day of the week was for the express purpose of taking communion. And everything else was built around it. And now we're seeing this movement that concerns me deeply of taking communion and putting it off somewhere else, making it something that's available, but don't let it bother you. We're not going to do it as a part of the worship service, when it was and is and always will be the centerpiece of what we do when Christian people come together.
Well, folks, when you hear those words, please don't believe that I am saying that legalistically or judgmentally, that we have to take communion every Sunday. We just have to. I'm saying it in love, that that's the reason that I personally believe the early church came together, was to take communion. Everything else was circumference around that. We'll continue this message with some of the strongest things I've ever said in my life about communion tomorrow on Cross Hope, and I really mean that. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
According to an article in a publication known as The Scientist, Dr. Albert Einstein visited a Dr. Gutenberg, the senior seismologist at the California Institute of Technology, in 1933. Einstein was greatly interested in the science of earthquakes and asked many questions as they walked on the campus together. Suddenly, an excited professor broke in, a third professor, in on their conversation, and they began to notice people rushing from nearby buildings as they felt the earth move under their feet. Dr. Gutenberg later confessed that the two scientists had become so engrossed, get this, in talking about earthquakes that they had failed to even notice the famous Los Angeles earthquake taking place around them. Isn't that ironic? Two scientific experts coming together to talk about earthquakes, and an earthquake is happening under their feet, and they don't even notice it. I think you also know where I'm going with this. We come together. People don't realize this is the most significant thing you will do this week, is in a few minutes when the emblems are passed and we are under orders, we're under His authority to take the emblems which represent the body and the blood of the Lord. I don't want you to look at communion in some magical way. I just want you to recognize what communion is. It's the body and the blood of the Lord. And every time we take it, something dynamic happens individually, and something dynamic happens corporately that I want to suggest doesn't happen when you go to another room and take it by yourself. Still valid experience. But there is something about taking the meal together. And I've said this before, and some people think it's melodramatic, but I really believe it's true. I believe this as much as I'm standing here, that when you take the Lord's Supper, those emblems, you proclaim to yourself, you proclaim to others around you, and you proclaim to the world, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And as dramatic, as melodramatic as this may sound, I honestly believe when you take communion, you are proclaiming to Satan, get your hands off my life. Get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my husband. Get your hands off my wife. I belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I really believe that. That's important. vitally important to our life. So what we're going to do right now, you've had a 20-25 minute meditation. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to pray for the emblems. Today, take communion in a new way. Take it individually. Take it corporately. But remember this, I'm proclaiming to those around me. I'm proclaiming to myself. I'm proclaiming to the world. I'm proclaiming even to Satan, I belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray together.
Well, my friend, my guess is you know the things in your life that are important to your career. You've got a handle on that. You know the things that are important to your family, and you know the things that are important to your personal life that maybe no one else knows about but you. What about the thing that should be important to your worship life and your spiritual life, meeting around the table, that Jesus commanded us to do and to remember his death by partaking of the bread and the cup emblematic of his body and blood? Think about that today. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. Go to iTunes and type in the word crosshope in the search bar to find our messages on iTunes. But also go to the website to look at visual stories, to look at past messages. There's a lot to see on our website called crosshope.org. God bless you. I hope you'll tune in again Monday to listen again to Crosshope.
You've been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Crosshope is listener-supported and is produced by Crosshope Ministries, Incorporated.